More shocking details about the state of South Africa's defence sector have emerged as Danel is being sued by an American company. We get the details from Chris Hartung, the Democratic Alliance spokesperson on defence and military veterans. Welcome, Chris.
Good day.
Please share the details of this case with us.
Well, it's very simple, I think, for American courts to consider, because that's where the case is right now. What happened is that in 2017, Draken, a company in the United States, entered into a contract with Danel. The core of this contract is that Draken contracted Danel to provide 12 Chicos aircraft to Draken. The total value of the contract was $35.2 million. And then Danel demanded to be paid $12.7 million, which was paid by Draken to Danel. And then Danel, on their part, should have prepared the Cheetos, get them airworthy, and then deliver them to Draken in the United States. Danel only succeeded to deliver 3 of the Cheetos, with 9 still outstanding. Now, a lot has changed since then. Danel cannot deliver. The Draken's appetite for this 1970s technology aircraft has dwindled, because the U.S. AD program, where they use adversary aircraft to test and train the pilots, is not there, and they've cancelled the contract with Draken. So we sit in a situation where Draken out claims $7.1 million, and that is the refund of advances paid to Danel, plus damages. This was filed in the United States on the 19th of August, and a summons was issued on the 21st of August, and now Danel says they will oppose this application of a Draken in the United States courts.
Now, is there any point even in suing Danel? Can it make good either way?
Yeah, well, it is one of the many failed state-owned companies. Yeah, but there is still some value within Danel. But I think what is most at stake here is the continuation of the downgrading in the international mindset of Danel as being a company that cannot deliver. Remember that before State Catchers actually got their greedy hands on Danel, 2015, it was a top company. It manufactured a lot. It actually fulfilled their contractual obligations to the international arms community, and they were an original equipment manufacturer of note in the world. There's still a lot of the technology in Danel left after state capture and other things, but it has also lost lots of the capability where the IP is still with Danel and the natural property, but many of the people involved in Danel now are actually working in India and in the Middle East. So Danel has actually become hollowed out, and it is a serious problem. I don't believe that Danel can deliver on this. The U.S. courts will not listen to sob stories about COVID and other stuff. There's a valid contract. Danel didn't deliver and are standing naked in the U.S. courts.
So I read that 2 of the jets did not have functioning ejector seats. 2 of those delivered. Is that correct, Chris?
That's what we also appear, but only 3 were delivered. We've got the tail numbers of those delivered. But yeah, the others. And this is an additional problem for Danel, because they have spent a lot of money in getting the 12 aircraft ready to deliver. They succeeded partially in getting 3 delivered, but the other 9, they've invested a lot of money into the other 9 to get them ready, and that will also now be forfeited, because the cancellation of the contract obviously is on the cards.
Now, is it only state capture that is to blame for the deterioration of Denel?
No, I think it's a combination of two major factors. One is state capture, which actually hollowed out Denel. But then we also have the problem that's visible all over state-owned companies, and that's SCADA deployment. With the SCADA deployment, a lot of professionalism was lost. We exported our people with high-tech people to all over the world. They cannot function within Denel. So this is one of the problem. The two main problems, in my opinion, would be then state capture and SCADA deployment. Now, with SCADA deployment, there are some problems, and that is the protection of SCADAs against accountability and prosecution. And the other major factor in that is that in the SCADA stock that's available to be deployed, there's simply not enough professional people with the capabilities required in Denel, specifically in Arms Corps, as well as in other state-owned companies.
I was just going to ask you about Arms Corps. Give us an update on the status quo there, please.
Arms Corps is struggling just as Denel is struggling. Part of the problem would obviously be the underfunding of the Defence Force, where 68% of the budget goes to salaries, leaving 32% for operations, for equipment, for renewal, for everything. And so the SANDF is simply not the buyer that it used to be and supporter of Arms Corps and Denel that it used to be. This is a big, big problem.
Where does it leave the South African defense sector?
Well, in tatters, as we can see, there's almost 200 aircraft. I think on a very good day, 16 of the aircraft may be available. Our submarine fleet is basically gone. I don't think it can be recovered. Of course, if we look in the previous arms deal, which is also very much tainted, where equipment was bought for the Air Force and the Navy. That's where the Gripens and the Hawks were bought. They are not flying. We also had the submarines and the frigates then also in the arms deal. The frigates and the submarines has actually got a 30-year lifespan, provided that they get a refit after 15 years. That one submarine was partially refitted, and I don't think they dared to take it underwater. Then the same situation with the frigates. One frigate was partially refitted, and the other two not. So they're coming to the end of their lifespan. Unless there's a significant investment into this, which would obviously stimulate Denel as well as Arms Corps, we might as well get rid of the submarines and the frigates. They are getting outdated. They are not being maintained. They are getting behind in technology. And remember, the world has moved on. We're not where we were in 2015. The world has moved, and this is, the defense industry has learned a lot from what's happening specifically in Ukraine. So we are not there. We had the research and development capacity in Denel and in Arms Corps, but because of the factors, the underfunding, the state capture and carrier deployment, we've lost most of that.
Now, what about the risks to South Africa of a defense force in such a non-battle-ready state?
Well, there's not a lot left of the SANDF. We've got, in my opinion, a leadership vacuum. We've got a minister that doesn't know what's going on. We've got a rapidly aging defense force. The outflow of people getting old is not, and the feed of young people into the SANDF is simply not making a difference in the average age of the SANDF force. The SANDF force is with an average age of about 47 at this stage, with the reserve force sitting at 48, approaching 49 average age. Now, we don't have the young riflemen, gunners, corporals, sergeants in their 20s. They're simply not there. There's a vacuum there. And this leaves us open. A major factor is that we've got a vast ocean that's our responsibility surrounding South Africa, and we've lost our total maritime surveillance and reconnaissance capability. We have a few inshore patrol vehicles. They simply cannot reach, cannot go into deeper waters, and we are also naked on our coastal borders because we cannot. We cannot do any surveillance, any reconnaissance. They are now trying to get some life back into the 80 years old, what used to be called the Dakotas. They were turboprop. They were grounded about 18 months ago. Trying to get them back into the air, but no, obviously there's no funding. The SANR remains unfunded, and it's not a priority for the government. The government has clearly defined its priorities. It's on the social front and does not see the defense force as a priority.
So does it not realize or does it not believe there are any dangers attached to not having a functioning defense force?
Well, our national strategic plan was tabled recently, and yes, it actually outlines the threats to South Africa in it. Well, but whether it has any impact on the decision makers, on the president, and on cabinet, I doubt. If we just take one step back, there was the 1996 white paper, the 1998 defense review, which was followed up by a 2015 defense review. Now, the 25th this defense review is actually the roadmap for the SANF. What type of defense force do we need? What type of equipment do we need? How do we modernize? Not a single milestone of the 2015 defense review, the roadmap for SANF, was implemented. It's basically SANF is rudderless. I would like to say it's in free fall if we look what's happening. And there was an attempt under the previous Minister of Defense, Thandi Modise, to reassess the 2015 defense review. There are all types of excuses coming forward from the current minister. There were deadlines missed for the tabling of this reassessment of the defense review. Now they try to obscure it and say they are embarking on a journey to greatness. Empty words. There's no budget, no plan to underwrite that journey to greatness. We are in a very precarious position, and we see what's happening in North Mozambique. We see what's happening in the Mozambique Channel, and we are exposed.
Meanwhile, the president and the minister have failed to act on the SANDF Iran scandal.
Yes, certainly. The debate about the Iran scandal of the chief SANF, we actually said that black on white spelled out the rules for political engagement spelled out how important it is for defense uniformed personnel not to involve in politics, actually went out there and engaged on international foreign policy. As if he is absolved from from the constitution obligations, from the Defense Act, and most important for him as a uniformed member of the Code of Conduct for Soldiers. Then the Chief of Communications, SANDF, Rear Admiral Junior Prince Shabalala, actually did an op-ed in what he says is his personal opinion, going further on what the general has said, obviously taking the gap that the general who needs to enforce this cannot enforce political involvement of any uniformed member anymore after himself being found on the wrong side of that. And this undermines discipline in the SANF. And what do we have here? after the presidency, after Durco, after the Ministry of Defense, distanced themselves from the utterances of General Mapanya in Iran. The minister comes and says she interviewed him, she listened to his explanations, and he did nothing wrong. So, and still we have this deafening silence from the commander-in-chief of the SANF, the president, on this issue. Nothing's going to come from this, from the minister's side, obviously. The president can act. He can act now. It's opportune, but we don't really have a history of the president taking decisions specifically on issues such as that, and certainly not in a hurry. And that's why we've asked now for debate in parliament of urgent public importance, and we hope that we can take this to parliament so that we can get clarity on the pronouncements of, without being sanctioned by Durco, by the president, on international foreign policy, by the chief of the SANF and by the chief of communications of the SANF. We, who by this, by the way, claim this is his personal opinion. But once you are a uniform member, you lose your ability to have a personal opinion, specifically in those positions. You are a uniformed member of the SANF, whether you are in your pajamas or in a civil suit. You are a uniformed member by definition. It's the same similar to what we had with a judge who was intoxicated and drove into a fence and then at the end was impeached. He didn't drink in his capacity as a judge. He drank in his capacity as a judge, not in his private capacity. And he was impeached because he was a judge and he was intoxicated and because of all the profanities that he uttered in live on camera. There's no personal opinion if you're in that position, a senior member of the SANDF. You 24/7, you are a uniformed member of the SANDF. Per definition.
Now, you mentioned Mozambique and how naked South Africa is. How likely is it that South Africa could face that kind of Islamic insurgency somewhere along its borders?
That's speculation. But remember that once we become defenseless, we become an easy target. There's a saying that there will always be a capable military on our soil. Whether it's our own choice.
Thank you. That was Chris Hartung, the Democratic Alliance spokesperson on defense and military veterans, speaking to BizNews. I'm Chris Stain. Thank you, Chris.